Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's the Nightcap on 1140 The Bet. Your home for news and insider info on your Vegas Golden Knights and the NHL. Here's your host, Lindsey Brown.
And joining me from the most mobile of studios is the man, the myth, the legend, the close personal friend of the program on the Nightcap, Michael McKenna. Why are you in the car? Where are you going? And why are you going there?
Hi, Lindsey. I'm just happy that you use my full phonetical name and saying I'm Michael McKenna. It brings me back to my youth, and I like being called Michael. Not enough people do that, so thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm in the car headed to Chicago, Illinois, to see the Blackhawks play against the Anaheim Ducks this evening. And it's going to be interesting here. This is a bit of a research trip because, Lindsey, we've got two teams in the Hawks and Ducks that have some decisions to make in advance of the trade deadline, and I'm curious to see what they look like on the ice tonight.
Absolutely. I mean, the Chicago Blackhawks have kind of been that team that a lot of others have been picking off for talent or using it kind of as an intermediary. But the Anaheim Ducks have kind of stuck around in this Pacific Division race a little bit longer than most people had anticipated, although I think they really racked up those wins probably in the month of November. Other than like your Ricard Raquels, who are you eyeballing on that Ducks roster tonight?
Well, we had a breaking topic today on our daily face-off show, and my teammate Frank Saravalli says that Hampus Lindholm is now number 5 on the trade targets list, according to our website. And the reason being is that he's due a new contract. GM Pat Verbeek of the Anaheim Ducks has to make a decision on Lindholm, and that is a defenseman that would be highly coveted by a lot of teams in the National Hockey League. But Anaheim has to make decisions. They also have Josh Manson. They also have Ricard Raquel. They've got a lot to work with there. So really curious to see where Lindholm may be. And Anaheim's just, like you said, they were good to start the year. They've come back down to earth recently. They've got a lot of young talent, but they got some decisions to make here in the near future.
Well, and timing is really the thing I think at the forefront of my mind, at least, because I don't think that they're ready to contend next year either, just looking around the Pacific Division and how many teams have made moves, be that the Golden Knights, be that the LA Kings, be that the Calgary Flames. Like, there's a lot of competition, and that's why I think a lot of the trade deadline moves are going to be centralized here, because the margin for error is just so slim, and I think that the wild card positions are probably going to both go to those Central Division teams.
I think you're right. You know, even Minnesota, that's been on a big slide lately.
God, they're bad right now.
I have a hard time believing that they don't get it together. I think they're just swooning right now. I think that if worst comes to worst, Guerin is going to be aggressive at the trade deadline. Of course, the GM of the Minnesota Wild. I'm not actually sure, Lindsey, if that team is happy with their goaltending.
I don't think they are right now.
I know Cam Talbot was an all-star this year. He had some good stretches. Kakanen was very good for a while. But both of them have slid. I haven't seen as much growth to Kakanen's game as I was hoping for. And that's a team that I know earlier this year sniffed around the trade dead market a little bit, even on the goaltender front. So there's a chance they could look for that. I would expect them, the Wild, to add secondary scoring in some fashion. Claude Giroux might even be a name in the mix there amongst other players. So I think Minnesota will be there. Nashville should be there, but Dallas looks really good right now. So I don't see Anaheim able to crack into that wild card spot. I don't think they're going to be better than Vegas, Calgary, and either of the mixes of LA or Edmonton at this stage.
Yeah, there's just a lot of teams that are seeming to figure it out at a faster rate. And so it's a really big conundrum, I think, especially with the different head of the front office with the Ducks, as Bob Murray was dismissed earlier in the season. But you mentioned the Dallas Stars. You have Jason Robertson going with the back-to-back Hatties this past weekend.
Wow.
And he's the guy, he's the name that we don't even mention when we talk about young talent on that team. You got your Heiskanens, you got your Roope Hintzes, you got, you know, your Pavelskis, who they're working out a contract extension. How quickly things have shifted for that team in just probably, what, the last 10 to 12 days or so?
Definitely has for Dallas, because they've been on such a hot run here lately. But I said all along, watch out for this team. You know, they battled injury early and they just couldn't get it going. Like, they'd have spans where they'd go 7-8 games, play well, then they'd drop a bunch in a row. They finally found their consistency, and I think a big part of that is twofold. First of which, Ryan Suter is playing his best hockey as a Dallas Star. He's been awesome. But the big deal, Lindsay, is Jake Oettinger.
Facts.
Guy, Minnesota goalie.
Of course, we don't know how to produce them, Michael. We don't know how to grow them or show them, but that guy has a great blocker side, and that is a very underutilized skill in today's NHL.
He's a shower, not a grower. That can play. I tell you what, Oettinger, 100% real deal. I've done a ton of video work on him recently, breaking it down, even for the goalies that I work with at the college level. And to me, he's kind of a hybrid between a Vasilevsky and a Bishop. He's 6'5". He plays really big, but he's controlled. He's within his posts. He's always bringing the whole package. He's very rarely spread. But I still like the athleticism he brings on top of that. And, you know, I talked to somebody recently this week close to that situation who said that, yeah, it's not just the intangibles about his technique. His reads are getting better. Mm-hmm. And that's the critical part, because the more time you spend in the National Hockey League, you get to know the opposite team better. You know the league. You know the shooters, the players. To me, that's why Ottinger's trajectory continues to go up. The Stars are no longer protecting him. He has the crease, and he's got a pretty good safety blanket. He's got Braden Holtby and even Anton Hudobin still in the American League. So
right.
That's a team that's pretty deep in goal.
Absolutely. With that in mind, do you still anticipate them possibly trading one of those goalies, even if they are a contender? I mean, technically, I would want to hoard them as much as possible if I think that this is the team to make a run with, but everybody has a price, and, you know, there is hockey to be played outside of this season.
Yeah, you sound like the classic WWE wrestler Ted DiBiase saying, everybody's got a price. Of course, billion-dollar man. But here's the deal. I would actually, if I were Jim Knoll, the GM of the Dallas Stars, I would very seriously consider trading Braden Holtby if I got a good package for
him. Same.
But I don't see that happening. And the reason why is that everybody I've talked to close to that situation doesn't think that Dallas wants to run with anything other than a combination of Jake Oettinger and Braden Holtby. And I respect that. I mean, that's a good duo going into playoffs. Of course, Hudobin at your third if you need him. But I also look at Dallas, I'm like, man, they could really use those picks. And you know there's teams out there looking for goalies on the market.
Absolutely.
So I just don't know what the value is for Holtby. If it's not a good return, by all means, you want to stick around. Stanley Cup winning goaltender as recently as a few years ago. But it's Oettinger's crease in Dallas.
Absolutely. And if anything, I mean, with teams like Minnesota starting to swoon, especially in that goaltending position, I mean, that's going to make their job a lot easier, or at least it'll give them better deals to kind of sift through and really make that big decision. Because I think they can make a run with this roster, because they had, a crappier roster a couple of years ago, and they were able to dispatch the Golden Knights just fine.
Yeah, and they could also be looking to add, too. The Dallas Stars, if you're looking a month ago, Joe Pavelski, John Klingberg, those are two names that you're looking at on the trade board thinking, man, they're probably on the move. Klingberg's requested a trade.
Right.
He's not going to come back next year. He's due a new UFA deal. Like, he's gone.
But it could be worth it to make him stay on this roster and let him walk away for nothing if you're able to make a legitimate run. Like, I think you're kind of weighing that decision in a way.
No question. That's what Jim Knoll, the GM of the Dallas Stars, is facing, is that Klingberg may end up being a self-rental. And you have to make that decision. And part of it, too, is a really strong owner in Texas. Tom Gagliardi wants to win. And if you're willing to eat that, you know, they do. Dallas has their full spectrum of draft picks for the next 3 years. They're not losing any. They're not missing a first rounder or anything like that. I think it would be nice to be able to add to it if you could. But they're not going to get rid of Pavelski. The guy's been their best player this year for the majority of this season. Jason Robertson's gone just on fire lately.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to be the face of that team offensively in years to come. But it's been driven by Pavelski and hits that top line. I think Dallas could look to add depth scoring. I think they could use that. I always wonder if Radulov could be on the market with that big contract, but it might be hard.
He's so sneaky in the playoffs, though, Mike. He's always good for a few goals down in the playoffs.
Yeah, and, you know, people around that situation think that Radulov plays a bigger part of that team than the points this year might realize. To me, that also might be a smokescreen for, hey, that guy's got a contract, we just can't move.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so I think it kind of goes hand in hand. But regardless, man, I like Dallas. I'm always a huge, huge fan of the leadership Jamie Benn brings, and I wouldn't count them out.
You talked about Jake Oettinger and his ability to really stay big, because I think when we talk about bigger goalies, my concern is always, well, if they get down, where does their weight go? How efficient are they at staying tall and taking away the upstairs? And I think that he does an excellent job in doing that. And another goalie that we haven't mentioned yet that I think needs to be talked about is Igor Shesterkin. And a few weeks ago when I was talking to my people and they were asking, you know, is he a legitimate person for MVP, I'm like, guys, I'm not ready to consider this until we start sniffing the same air that Carey Price was in 14-15. I think we're in that mode now, but what do you think?
He's the best goalie in the world.
That's You're over opinion. Vassy. You're ready to say that right now.
I think, it's going to be so hard to knock Vasilevsky off his perch because he is the best money goaltender in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not sure offhand what the statistic is, but in elimination games, Vasilevsky's had shutouts in like half of them or something insane.
Isn't it like five straight or something like that? Something ridiculous.
It's crazy. That guy has learned how to thrive under pressure situations. And I tell you what, Lindsay, I think a lot of that has to do with the lessons he learned early in his career, facing losses in playoffs, a lost playoff series to the Columbus Blue Jackets in four straight games.
Embarrassing.
That has galvanized Vasilevsky. But Shesterkin, you watch this guy skate.
Ugh.
Watch him arrive on time. Watch him rotate. Watch him be square and waiting for pucks. And I have people ask me all the time, like, why is this guy so good at making saves on clean shots? And I say, because his feet are set, his eyes are locked in.
He's so efficient.
And he's got an athletic posture.
Yep.
He's so good. And I think that he's really covered up the Rangers' the defensive deficiencies. I don't think he's in the hard territory because, to me, he hasn't played quite enough games. I think that hurts him.
Mm.
You know, I think he's into, 34, 35-game territory so far this year, where you have others like, let's say, a UC Saros who's played 43, 44 games. Shesterkin can still win a Vezina at that rate, but to get a heart, you need to go wire to wire.
Yeah.
Playing a lot of games. And you have to be head and shoulders better than anybody else at your position, whether you're a defenseman or a goalie, to win a Hart Trophy as league MVP. So is Shesterkin playing at the level to be in consideration for a Hart? Absolutely. But is he going to win it? I think he's still facing an uphill battle. But if he runs the table from here on out, and if he scores a goal, give it to him, Lindsay.
Oh,
if
hell yeah.
Scores a goal, give him the award right there on the ice. Stop the game. Bring out the Hart Trophy. Give it to him.
Yeah.
Before the period.
We don't need the voting. We don't need the opinions of the writers. We know exactly what is on the wall.
That's right. And you know what? I am now a member of the Professional Hockey Writers Association.
Oh, aren't you legit?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, you get like a card or a decal or something like that for that?
A decal?
A club?
We used to call those decals in racing.
I know. I go the Canadian pronunciation for decals, decals. That's where I go. So you have the emergence, or at least the ascension, of Shesterkin. We know that makes Georgiev basically expendable. He's a name that a lot of people are talking about in trade deadline for goaltenders, and that name was attached a lot a few weeks ago to the Golden Knights. Now, Robin Leonard's fine, at least through this week and everything else, but do you think there's still as hot of a market for him? And what type of team do you think he would fit in best? Because he's kind of a spider monkey type of style of goaltender, Mike. He almost fires off of that post. And if he's on, he's probably fantastic. When he's off, I don't know if he could stop a beach ball.
Yeah, to me, Gorgiev is interesting because he's way better when he plays a lot of games. And that's not going to happen behind Igor Shesterkin. He's been passed over. But his numbers have gone nothing but downhill since his first year pro. And I think if this was a half ago, Georgiev's value would have been much higher than it. Word around the league is that he's at the level to truly trust him. He hasn't really done that. Urge previously.
Mike, you there? Hello?
Why? Well, between him and Angelo last year, great associate to Georgiev. You can see his body language after some goals. It's not necessarily great. I just think that NHL GMs see some warning signs there that maybe they don't want to throw all their weight behind someone who hasn't been proven. And imagine if Igor Shesterkin gets hurt and the Rangers are stuck with Koskinen as their goaltender in playoffs. That's
oh my God! Could you imagine?
It's not.
Yeah, it would be absolutely like it would be a clown show, and unfortunately, Mike, I lost you for most of that answer with Gorgiev, but I think I'm piecing it together in terms of if Koskinen's playing on the Rangers, then we've made a trade with the Edmonton Oilers, and as you said, that's a lot of bets to place on a character that hasn't exactly been showing that he's the most reliable of starting net miners. But Koskinen's played pretty well the last couple of games, or at least the last couple Oilers games I've seen. But like goaltending is the problem there, but I think it is a great excuse to kind of skirt away blame from players not playing the right way, not skating hygienically, not getting back into plays. What in your mind is the calculus for success for the Oilers? What adjustment?
Yeah, they need goaltending straight up. I don't think there's any way around it. Like, I'm more comfortable saying that about the Oilers than I am the Maple Leafs. I think the decor for the Maple Leafs is so soft. They don't have a willingness to compete. I'm watching pucks get floated in from the blue line and seeing Morgan Rielly just let it deflect off his hip in the net without even a care of trying to block that shot. That's not winning hockey. And I'm sorry, man. If you're making that kind of money to carry the mail, you better be willing to get in front of shots if it's a regular season, because you're not going to do it in the postseason. So I think that it's incumbent upon Kyle Dubas in Toronto to find defense. I mean, it may not just be one. With Jake Muzzin out, they need help. But for the Oilers, they just need consistency. Like, Mike Smith's been hurt. He's been in and out of the lineup. He's sick now. Like, even if Smith gets back to healthy, what do you have there? You know, I love Mike Smith, man. I think that guy's the ultimate battler, but I can't trust him right now. And Koskinen is what he is. He'll play a couple good games, and then it just goes right back to what it was previously. He is what he is. He is not going to improve. He's not an NHL number one, much less an NHL goaltender that can win you a Stanley Cup. That's my assessment. So I think that they have to find someone. The problem is that they can't. What's available? Because I think GM Ken Holland is trying to find a name. I think he wants Marc-Andre Fleury, or he wants Jonathan Quick. I think he wants somebody who's previously been somebody who can do it in the NHL. But the price has been too high. Ken Holland should be looking to get Anton Forsberg out of Ottawa. That's the magic bullet. But I don't think he has a big enough name or the guts to go after somebody who doesn't have the cachet to excite a fan base, Lindsay.
Yeah. What about Khudobin?
Well, he's been playing in the American League, and really, Khudobin, to me, hasn't been the same ever since I believe he had surgery on a hand or wrist. He had long COVID beginning of last season, you know. That's all kind of factored in, and he didn't look the same when he started the year in the NHL to me. So I think that at this point, Khudobin would be something of a reclamation project, where you go after a Forsberg, who's been awesome, and he doesn't cost anything. Like, he's got a $900,000 contract. It's a no-lose.
And he's used to seeing a lot of shots, too, which is seems to be a theme in Edmonton.
Tons of shots. So, again, the biggest problem for Ken Holland, though, is that the entire league hasn't bent over a barrel because they know he's looking for a goalie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's going to have to give up the King's ransom to get it done, and that's why he needed to do it last summer leading into this season.
Yeah, at this point, he's almost reliant on somebody else being pushed into a very, very desperate position so at least you can do business and leverage off someone else, because they're just, like you said, everybody knows exactly what they need and how much that they can leverage him for that. It's going to be a really tough putt for, I think, the Oilers down the stretch, because even if they do make the playoffs, I don't think they're going to go very far. And so it's just a disaster in waiting, in my mind. But there's a lot of teams that you could probably say that's a disaster if they end up going out early in that first round, or just early out in the playoffs in general, especially when you have teams like the Kings sniffing around. This is a good team, Mike, and I've been on them since early. I saw how they were kind of putting things together last season. Now you get the Quinton Byfields into the lineup. He's healthy again. You get the Philip Deneau's to really make Mark Stone's life miserable when he's available in the lineup. But their power play is still horseshit. Why and what do they need to fix? Because we always talk about what's the difference between teams in the playoffs, and a lot of times it's your ability to convert on the power play.
Yeah, the two X factors for me when it comes to playoffs are, well, goaltending is always the obvious one. Goalies can steal a series, steal a game. But beyond that, special teams. Like, if your penalty kill goes to hell, you're in one. If you can't score in the power play, you're in big trouble. You may only get two or three a game, but you got to make it count on the power play. And L.A. is a team that at the beginning of the season, I pegged them to be a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't sure where they'd be. I thought they were going to be something surprising. Them or the Rangers were my two teams that were kind of my belief teams. You know what I mean, Lindsay? When you pick
yeah.
the club at the beginning, you're like, I just have a feeling they're going to be good this
There's something
year
magical cooking over there. We just got to see if they make the recipe right.
Right. And for the Rangers, for me, it was Gerard Gallant coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And then for L.A., I just thought it was the infusion of the players that were younger coming in, along with Dano. And the more I look back at it, it's really been the Victor Arvidsson trade that's carried that team beyond the obvious. Like, he's been awesome for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was picked up for a second and third round pick, which was, I'll tell you what, that was a gutsy move by GM Rob Blake of the Kings to make that play. But he's been good. The only problem is that he did leave the game the other night. You worry about an injury to Arvidsson. But you do have the young talent filtering in now. Quinton Byfield has made his mark. Durzi's come in and played well. Kempe's
on fire this year.
Know? That dude can fly.
Why are they looking to trade Athanasiou? Because he's like the only guy that seems to create off the rush, and he's the name that I keep seeing with everybody in terms of potential pieces that can go back if they're looking to add a defenseman.
Yeah, well, because if you're going to add a defenseman,
you may not be
looking at a rental. You might be looking at somebody with some term and a great contract named Jacob Chychrun.
Mm, yep.
And if you're going to do that, you've got to give up something of value, and you got to give up a little bit of cap hit. I think that might be where Athanasiou plays in. I mean, Athanasiou, as fast as he is and as much as he creates, I still don't think that he's always trusted defensively.
No.
And L.A. still, listen, I don't trust him in goal in playoffs. That's the only thing that worries me. Peterson's been pretty consistent, but he's been consistently letting in three goals.
Yeah, and Quick's actually been the better guy all season long.
He was for the start of the year.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part for Quick, though.
Longevity.
Since the holiday break, Quick has the lowest save percentage in the National Hockey League. So I don't think they're going to make any moves in net, but it makes me nervous in L.A. who they have in goal, because I think teams have figured out their goaltending. They're going to have to outscore people if they want to keep moving on.
Shoot at those posts, right? Target those hips, because they're not the most flexible. At least that's what, in our conversations, we've come to the conclusion, too, when we talk about Peterson. Maybe not so much Jonathan Quick, but he's always down on his post, even if that puck is up on the hash mark.
Yeah, and Peterson, to me, doesn't rotate very well. He tends to chase the game into the white ice. He moves laterally in straight lines. And if you want somebody that's the complete opposite of that, that's Igor Shesterkin. You're UC Saros. Those goalies rotate and get square to the puck so quickly and efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Peterson needs to do better. Quick needs to stop relying on paddle down and RBH and playing so small. Teams know how to expose that now. But I do love LA up front. Like, Kopitar is still producing. Brown's good.
Mm-hmm.
Dano, like you said, has been phenomenal for him. So I think they can make some waves.
Absolutely. I think they're a team that is going to, we're going to have to keep an eye on going forward if they're not able to make a lot of noise this year. But we talk about hip mobility. Let's do a little compare contrast as we go with Cal Peterson and Robin Leonard, because you the other night kind of talked me off the ledge because I saw Leonard's feet in the white paint a lot. And granted, I think they were playing a crappier team, and so you said that he has trust in the defensive coverage for the Golden Knights. And I thought, you know what, that's extremely misplaced in my mind, but yet we are here. Is that a night-by-night basis type of proposition, or do you feel like that's a full-blown adjustment that Leonard has made to his game, is to gap out a little bit and trust that his team is going to pick up that back door?
I felt that in the game that I was watching, and I believe we were discussing the game against the San Jose Sharks
over
a week ago. San Jose sucks. They're terrible. I actually have a piece out now saying they need to sell the farm. Sell Hurdle, sell anything they can, because that team's not going to be good again for a while. They need to speed up their rebuild. They've got way too much invested in Burns, Vlasic, and Carlson on the back end.
Yeah.
So I think they need to help. Robin Leonard's never been afraid to take ice and move out of his crease when he knows that there isn't a secondary option or a pass option on a rush chance against him. And I think that that's not a bad thing for him. I think that he's pretty good at reading those plays. San Jose just didn't generate anything. They were one and done. You have a player down the wing, nobody attacking. And I think that's the strength of Leonard, is that he does at times judiciously decide to move out and take ice. It's not always, not automatic, but he will do it when he thinks that he can do it and get away with it in a way that's positive. So I like that about him. I like that he's not just married to always playing on the goal line. Like,
yeah.
For instance, let's say Mike Smith this year. I think that Leonard's been better about that and making sure that he's making decisions on time and place on when to challenge aggressively.
Yeah, that's fair. I think he's been phenomenal since he's returned back. And granted, we didn't know how long he's going to be out. We're not really sure if it's a nagging injury, like what nobody's upfront or honest. And you know that just as well as I do, especially down in this neck of the woods. But I'm a little nervous about the Golden Knights right now and their ability to get everybody back together and on the right starting line. Should they get Stone back in this lineup, should they actually have a chance to take this to the playoffs? Because right now, if they're hovering around that line, and we've already allocated both those wild card positions to the Central Division, I mean, it truly is cup or bust, completely out of the playoffs.
I think it's perilous.
Yeah.
It's the best word I can find to describe their situation, because I still think in my heart of hearts the Golden Knights will make playoffs. I think they'll end up in the top three of the Pacific Division. But, man, I've seen reasons to be concerned. And I think part of it is just our recency bias of always thinking they've been fine no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Golden Knights have always been fine. They've always found a way.
All right, so the Golden Knights yesterday, we were looking to get healthy against one of the worst teams in the NHL, and what do you know? We weren't able to get it done. 2-1 loss at the hands of the Philadelphia Flyers, Mike, and they were down 2-0 after the first period. I know that you were watching other NHL talent put their best stuff on display, but it just seems like it's another night where we fire 50 shots on net and only manage to convert on one of them, and apparently Marshy was like, I don't really know what to do. We keep running into hot goaltenders. So what do they do?
Well, how many years do we have to hear that for at this point?
Yeah.
That's the hard part. I mean, we've heard that refrain before. Like, we got beat by a good goaltender over and over and over again. So, you can look at this a couple of different ways. First, how are the Golden Knights generating shots? Are they doing it from the inside? Are they doing it on and off the stick? Are they doing it on the rush? Well, typically, when they fire a lot of shots at goal, and a goalie stands on his head, the shots are coming from the outside, from the points, and they're not able to either get secondary opportunities or they don't have anybody at the net to create tips, deflections, all those types of things that make life hard on a goaltender. So I don't know where to go if you've got a team that continues to do the same thing year in and year out, and it kills them in playoffs. And especially against a team like Philly that's brutal offensively, but all they do is pack the middle.
Mm.
And I saw this couple weeks ago when Philly played against St. Louis, and they just rope-a-doped them. They packed the middle, they forced the Blues to the outside, they were in that game for a large portion of it, and it's the same thing you see against the Golden Knights, that teams that defend the middle of the ice have success, and teams that can limit the rush chances of the Golden Knights, or if a goaltender just happens to make all the saves on the rush chances, they beat them.
Right.
And I think that's a tough spot to be in when you're losing games to Philadelphia. That team is just not good. And you start to wonder at this point, Lindsay, like, where's the confidence of the Golden Knights when you're not beating the teams that you really should?
No, I have a hard time disagreeing with you, because it the way that you defend this team kind of goes hand in hand. As you mentioned, you pack the middle, and then you kind of force the Golden Knights to go into their own cage, because they're going to possess the hell out of the puck. They're going to fire the shots on, but it's never truly a threat. It's never truly like we have to have all hands on deck. And it just seems as the games go on, they double down on what they're doing, or they just get such intense tunnel vision that imagination just isn't there.
Yeah, and the creativity factor is one part, and then you've got players that start to overthink things.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember speaking to somebody pretty close to the team thinking that, man, this team just needs a psychologist to help them when it comes crunch time, because they simply can't perform in the clutch moments, which it shouldn't be like that for a team with as talented of players as they have, but for whatever reason, that's kind of been tough on them in playoffs and going down the stretch. So I'm still optimistic about this club, though, Lindsay. Like, mm-hmm. I still think the Golden Knights have the pieces. But, boy, we really start to worry when you hear those things again and again. Hey, hot goalie. Oh, we just got to try harder. I don't know, man.
Well, then how do people play in the playoffs, Mike? Like, this is the formula for success, be it against the Golden Knights or anybody else, because things just tighten up. And it just, every year it seems in the regular season, we're like, well, how do we break them out of this funk? How do we figure out this particular formula? Because we're going to see it later on in the final exam. And then they just don't seem to be able to figure that out entirely. And they just keep relying on that rush, which isn't being very fortuitous for them right now. And then they have the legs of their opposition just collecting those pucks and putting them back up ice on the rush themselves.
Yeah, and I still think that the team is constructed very north-south, mm-hmm. which is good. I mean, you want to play north-south, but there really isn't the playmaking pivot on this club that some of these top-end teams have that can rip seams and get pucks through. Like, I'm specifically thinking of Kucherov in Tampa Bay, and I'm specifically thinking of Backstrom in Washington. Mm-hmm. Players like that can find lanes. Even last night, I'm watching Patrick Kane in Chicago. 5 assists.
Yeah.
You know, I understand it's a career night, but that's the type of player that you have to have, and Jack Eichel should help that. But Eichel's also a very fast north-south player.
Mm-hmm.
He can make plays at a high level through seams. But he still needs to have a Max Pacioretty at 100%.
Right.
And he needs a Mark Stone in the lineup to really make that line sync.
Mm-hmm. Well, because then you have to respect each respective talents in a way, because I was watching them try to force passes through that cross seam on the power play, and all you have to do is, you know, put a stick in the lane and disrupt it. I'm like, well, you actually have to draw some bodies to you. You have to actually act like, hey, come over here. I might do something with it, because everybody can read exactly what they're doing. And then it's just so demoralizing for them, because how many times have you been on a team in a game where it just seems like the hardest thing in the world is getting a pass tape to tape from point A to point B?
For sure, and I think I've thought this for a bunch of years. Like, the Golden Knights still need movement on their power play, not just with the puck, but with players. You know, you can say we need to move the puck as fast as we can, and I can tell that they're trying, and I can tell that Eichel is definitely going to help that. But until you get players in motion and creating mismatches amongst D and making the defense think on the penalty kill, it's still going to remain easy to defend middle ice. You need motion. You look at power plays across the league. And again, I mean, look at Tampa. Look at Edmonton. Just how fast they're moving. I mean, they still get into Draisaitl on the backside in Edmonton, even though everybody knows it's going there, because McDavid's always in motion. Mm-hmm. Nugent Hopkins, when he's in the lineup, he's always in motion. And that's the difference maker. It's their body, not just the puck.
Yeah, it's truly fascinating, and it almost seems like it's sometimes we funnel those pucks up high because we want to go through our defensemen. We want to utilize Shea Theodore. We want to utilize Alex Pietrangelo. But sometimes you have to diversify away from those top talents if the top talents aren't the ones performing. Like, at some point, I'm like, let's just break up all the lines. Let's play who's actually producing. But then again, I'm not really sure if anybody's at that point. And to be totally honest as well, I don't know if further kind of putting them down is going to help them at this point. It's just straight up. You got to work harder. You got to battle harder in those 50-50 battles. And then sooner or later, you're going to come out victorious. It's just, it doesn't seem like they paid the price to earn that puck luck yet.
Yeah, and I'd sure like to see Marchessault play with Eichel more. I'd really like to see that. I understand the mystique of the Misfit line, but with a team that's trying to create some scoring, missing some players out of the lineup, I would be very tempted to break that lineup and see what you could do.
Well, especially
even if you're putting Riley Smith on the right side, just to create something a little bit different, give it a different look, see how it goes. Because like the Misfit line has been good at times; they've had times that they've been dominant. But I still don't think that you're going to get the top end out of that line like you will some of the others in the league. You know, they are an excellent second line, but they're not a first line in the NHL.
No, and it seems like it's a lot more top-heavy scoring with that line versus, like, the last couple years you had, you know, Riley Smith chipping in a couple of goals every night or a few points. Then you'd see Bill Carlson get a couple assists. It seems like it's so lopsided towards Marshy's area and of just actually converting. And the other two, I mean, Smith had a couple of goals last week or recently, but they're dealing with some big-time scoring droughts. But everybody is.
Yeah, and that's... that's what you look at. Like at this time of the year, it's you're in March, and the season's bumped back a little bit, so you still have all of April to work and get things going. But this is where it needs to happen. And I don't really, Lindsay, see anybody coming in to save the Golden Knights. I can't look at trade deadline as a time that's going to be something that gives the Golden Knights more juice than they currently have.
No, like, the answer's in the room. Yeah.
It is. Like, it's what they have. And can you really pull it off with what you have? If it's a full lineup, absolutely. I think you can get close. But we've just seen kind of similar stuff that we have in the past. So I still think they're there. I still think they're going to get the playoffs. But I said this earlier, I'm really nervous about a first-round flame out.
Absolutely, especially when you're talking about, well, are you going to match up with Calgary? Because they got their ass kicked 6-0 there last time they faced there. The fact that, you know who packs the middle really well? The Los Angeles Kings. They've been practicing that for the past 3 years because they've been shit. And now that they actually have some skill, we can punch back and get after it. And they just, the Golden Knights don't play against either of those teams very well.
Yeah, I'd be concerned against Calgary big time just given the way those games have gone. I mean, that top line on Calgary with Kachuk, Lindholm, and Goudreau, it's...
Thank God Gaudreau didn't blow out his knee last night.
What's that?
Thank God Gaudreau didn't blow out his knee last night. I heard there was a collision. Oh. That would have been a disaster.
That would have been tough, yeah. But that line has just been like the Globetrotters this year. They've been impressive. But it's also just because Calgary's so good defensively, and they've got a goalie that they believe in Markstrom. You know, even their secondary goaltender in Vladar has had a pretty nice season for them. And that makes a difference. So I would be worried about Calgary. Again, I'm not sure about LA's goaltending, but, man, that lineup in LA, it's one or two pieces away, I think, from actually being scary. Like, they are trending in the right direction.
Well, and Rob Blake's constructed that team with the Golden Knights in mind, with the powers that be in the Pacific Division in mind, because they're not just here to compete. They're here to start bullying people around, and they certainly have the farm system to help bolster that if they look to add pieces from the outside or simply just let them develop a very healthy system going on in LA, and a lot of level of concern for your Golden Knights. Michael, I appreciate you recording this podcast over the last couple of days. I know that you are everywhere just getting all of the hockey insights for Daily Faceoff. So besides dailyfaceoff.com, where else can we find all of your excellent work?
Well, I'm starting to pick up time with SiriusXM on the radio dial. I'm on with them occasionally, but you'll see it Daily Faceoff. Also occasionally at sinbin.vegas on Wednesdays. We typically do what's known as goalie interference at 7 o'clock in the evening, which is a lot of fun. Are not doing it today because I wasn't able to see one of the Golden Knights games previously, and I'm traveling. But that's typically every Wednesday. If there's a game, we go Thursday. And it's a lot of fun, man. It's interactive. People call in and just hang out with the Sinbin guys and have a good time.
You're a man of many talents and many friends, and we are so pleased to call ourselves one of yours. Thank you so much, Mike.
You are very welcome, Lindsay. Thanks for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.